You're the drama guy.
Oh, shit. I just keeps fighting me, bro. I can't help
you are in the center of the drama, bro. Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on all the time. You're fighting with Jake Paul. You're hooking up with Tana.
I never hooked up with Tana.
What?
I never hooked up with Tana.
I'm pretty serious about how you are. And I was telling him to his face, I was like, bro, like, we're filming. And I was like, bro, like, you're gonna, like, you have to take this fucking serious. Like, you're a big boy, but like, you gotta get out of your own head and like, actually focus.
But Rylan weighs so much more than Tanner.
And he's huge. I get it. But like, also, like, bro, he get gassed out so quick. Like,
yeah, Tanner has a lot of stamina.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. I kept saying it. I'm like, bro, like, you have to take it serious. And he wasn't. This comes out Monday, so...
Yeah, so we will know.
We will know if he gets gassed out.
If he gasses out or if he's good enough.
Yeah, because he was telling me, he's like, yeah, my coach said I can drink and smoke. And I'm like, that's the wrong coach. You need a better coach. But I love him the bit, so I hope he impresses me, but... Or it doesn't. Yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just know... I feel like you've been taking it very serious because you've been down here, you've been away from all the noise.
Yeah, man, I've been doing my best. I've trained for this fight. Like, if I was fighting anyone else, I would have trained this amount.
Damn.
So I did as much as I could. I wanted to get as much out of the fight as I could to,
yeah,
and like get the experience, kind of make it worth it.
Damn. Yeah, bro. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I did my thing. But how are you feeling about the? It already happened. It already happened. The YouTuber versus TikToker.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How you feeling about it?
What a crazy weekend.
For real.
When this is coming out, it would have already happened. But today is Wednesday,
yeah.
So I'm about to fly out to Miami. So that little convo we had in the beginning, hopefully that ages well. But ladies and gentlemen, we got a special guest, Maverick. Go ahead and introduce him.
We have Harry Jowsey from Too Hot to Handle.
Oh.
You probably never heard of him. Probably never seen him before.
Thanks for having me, boys. I appreciate it.
All the way from Australia.
Yeah, I flew in just for this.
All the way, yeah. Bro, 14 hours straight.
It's crazy. Bro, people in Australia think LA is like way further away than what it is. I was like, it's one flight. Just get on it.
14 hours.
Yeah.
Bob, are you pretty good at sleeping on those flights?
Bro, I am the best flight sleeper. Like, it's so annoying. I'll get on a flight and I'll be excited to watch a movie. And I'll fall asleep and I'll miss it. I'll get so fucking angry with myself because every time I'm on a plane, I'm asleep. Like every time. And it's the only time that I get to sit down and watch movies. So I like get excited. I'm like, damn, I really want to watch this. And then I fall asleep. I was like, this is stupid.
What's your secret to sleeping on the plane? Or you just pass out because like the plane?
Hey, bro, I just love sleeping. Like I'm just such a big human. So as soon as I'm like, stop moving, I'm like dead. I'm like out.
You a weed smoker at all?
Never.
Never?
Well, I have done it before, but I just hate it.
Oh, I was going to say, bro, that used to be my life hack when I flew. Because I used to travel like 2017. I went on so many flights. I had this like ritual down where I get to, allegedly in other countries, I would do this.
Allegedly. With the stizzy.
I would go into the bathroom back in my day. You know, I'd go into the bathroom. I hit the wax pen a couple of times. I walk out fried. In fact,
really?
We've done that before. And then you just get on the plane, bro.
Damn.
You sit down in your seat and you're like, oh man, I'm feeling this.
Yeah, you're good.
Close your eyes. And this is the thing. I've done this. I've flown to Australia so many times.
Yeah.
I fly 7 hours straight, sleep, wake up. And again, allegedly.
Hit the stizzy.
I would go into the bathroom.
As soon as you wake up?
On the plane.
Damn.
That's illegal.
No, so but
this is
allegedly.
This is all allegedly.
Yeah. So it could have happened.
Yeah, and then again, repeat that, another 7 hours, and then it's 14, and boom, we're here.
Damn.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit.
That's crazy.
Where in Australia are you from?
I'm from this small country coastal town called Yeppoon. There's only like 19,000 people in the surrounding. It's tiny.
Where's it by? Because I know Australia decently.
So do you know where Brisbane is?
Yeah.
So it's like 9 hours drive above that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in the middle of nowhere. But it's like right on the coast, so it's really pretty.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. So you're actually in the boonies in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, bro. I grew up with like a bull named Nigel. Like, and then it was a beef capital of Australia is where we live. Like, it's just all cows and like cowboys and stuff.
Steer?
Yeah.
If you will.
So are you a big animal guy at heart?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you grow up with any crazy pets? Like,
no, but yeah, I had my bull, Nigel, and we had like probably like 12 Clydesdales. Like my mom just collects horses. And then like
just casually had a pet bull.
Yeah. It was a man. And then we'd have like, he had his bitches and stuff, but like I'd always like go feed him mangoes because it was on a mango farm as well. Then we had like 12 chickens named Margaret, and there's Buzz and Bella, the pigs. I don't know. We don't eat them. We just let them do their thing. We let them roam around.
Is this where your little nicknames come from, bro? Because you're animals, bro? That just started making sense.
Yeah, bro. It's because my parents just have the craziest names for, like, our dog was called Muffy. My dog was Nugget. And then, like, Banjo. We just have the weirdest names.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
So growing up on a farm, did you, like, get to wrestle anything, like an alligator or punch some kangaroos? Or is that, like... way stereotypical.
There's been moments where you've been close to like fighting a kangaroo, but it's just too scary because they'll break your ribs. Like they get on their tail and they just fucking smoke you. Yeah, they can like seriously fuck you up. So we just like...
Are they like hogs like where you just run on sight?
Yeah. You just like fuck that shit. They'll legit drop you like and you'll be like dead, like winded. But yeah, I kind of stay away from like the saltwater crocodiles and stuff like that. Like they're... on the beach that we live at. So like all the bad shit you hear about Australia, like that's where we live. So like in the water, there's saltwater crocodiles, sharks, jellyfish, sea snakes, like everything that can kill you. And then on the land is like the land animal version of whatever's going on in there. Like it's fucked. Like the spiders.
It's really like that too.
It's crazy,
bro. It's actually like that.
Yeah.
Spiders fucking like, everywhere.
Legit. I was telling one of my friends, I was like, oh yeah, every time I like, go to the toilet, I stand up to wipe. He's like, why? And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize, but like growing up in Australia, you're on the toilet for like 2 seconds, like bang, bang, getting it out because there's snakes that usually hide in the toilet. So if you don't flush before you go to the toilet, because like you usually flush to see if there's a snake and it will fall down. Yeah. But if you don't, you just have to like be in and out.
So being out in LA has got to be like blissful. You don't have to worry about nothing.
You guys have guns. That's why I'm fucking terrified of.
But how, I feel like you do not hear any like gun shooting.
Would you rather have a gun pulled on you or a huntsman jump on your face?
Oh, bro, I had a huntsman jump on me. It's fucked.
Do you know what that is?
No, yeah. It's a huntsman.
Like these fucking massive spiders.
Fuck. Yeah.
Like, they're like furry and brown.
Yeah.
But they're not like a tarantula. It's like a big spider.
Yeah.
We have like a black widow and you barely see those.
Yeah. No, but these things bite and they don't hurt. It's just like a little red mark.
A huntsman?
I've been hit by three of them. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but the wolf eating spiders, your skin rots. It's fucked.
Wolf, I've never even heard of that. That's a new species.
You ever had a friend bit by one of those? Anyone you know?
My brother got smoked by one. Oh, no, that was by this white tail spider or something when he was a kid. And it just, his whole arm was just got like, fuck, just got fucked up. He had to go like ER. It was crazy.
I used to be like that weird kid that watched like spider bite videos on YouTube. Did you ever? And like where they pull like the shit out. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, like I really like what? Like,
well, when a black widow bites you or some shit, your skin gets infected, and then like you ever seen the videos of them pulling out like these like massive like
I haven't seen that.
Oh my God, it's like rotten skin and shit from the venom, and they like pull this string out of the cut. Yeah,
it's never disgusting.
Mind. Anyways, yeah. Speaking of Australia, man, what was it like growing up, going to high school in Australia for you?
It sucked because I was like a piece of shit. Like I was the worst. Like I was such a little kid. Like when I was like the class clown, right? So I'd always be it. Like in trouble or getting kicked out of school. Like I got kicked out of pretty much all the schools in Australia. So my parents sent me to school in a different country. So I went kicked out
for being fighting for
fighting, blowing up toilets. I had this like
blowing up toilets.
What do you mean? With who?
Yeah, no. like chlorine bombs. Like we'll be bored or we make like little firecrackers and like put them in like a subway thing and then just throw it in the middle of like groups. Like I was just a piece of shit. And then we had like little fight clubs and stuff. And then, I think the kicker that really pissed my parents off was I had this like, oh yeah, I'm going to have a little party at our place. Like it's going to be cool. And I told her there was only going to be 80 people and 500 or 600 people showed up, which is like the whole, like every single kid in our area, like every single kid showed up and then turned to a riot. People getting knocked out. People are fighting police. Like it was crazy. My parents were like, yeah, you need to get the fuck out of this country. Like we're sending you to boarding school in a different country. I was like, sweet. That's what I need.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, I went to New Zealand and then I got kicked out of school there 2 weeks before I was meant to do my final grades. I was the worst kid, but I feel like it builds character. But I got kicked out of that school because I streaked at the sister college at the wrong time.
Like the wrong time. You were just streaking at the wrong time.
When was the right time?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like not when the mayor's there and not when there's a whole bunch of police officers. I didn't realize it was just me.
Dick out?
Yeah. Well, I was like in a pink G-string and a balaclava and I was like, they won't notice me. And then it was like five of us, but we're all like rugby boys. So it's like, oh, who are the five big dickheads running around in like pink G-strings? And then there's cops, the mayor, everyone was there. And I was like, oh shit. Like we thought this wasn't going to be like a big event. We just thought it was like the final like year 13 girls like leaving and saying goodbye, but it didn't happen. It was just like, okay, cool. We just fucking absolutely cooked ourselves. And then one of the boys just ratted on everyone. And then my parents were like, we're sick of your shit. You're going to have like, I was like, can you give me like a hotel for the past, like last 2 weeks to do my final exams? And like, nah. So I had to live in a tent.
Outside, just in the wilderness?
Yeah.
So what made you like straighten out? Like, was there like a defining moment?
Yeah. So I went, so when I came back after school and like all that shit happened and I went back home to see my parents, it was a little bit weird because it was me and my brother. We came back home at the same time and my parents weren't really used to, because we were at boarding school since we were 14. So they weren't really used to just having like two grown men in the house. So I just started working. I was working like three jobs and I'm like, fuck this. Like, I don't want to go to university. I don't want to do a trade. So what do? I was like, well, I'm going to go figure shit out. So I just booked a flight to England for like a year.
Casual?
Yeah. I was saving up all my money and I was like, I just don't want to, because all my friends were going to university and I was like, I just can't really see myself enjoying that right now. And I just feel like I'm not really ready because I just hated studying. Like, I hated being told what to do. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to go to England. I'm going to go try and figure out life. And that's what my mom wanted. She's like, yeah, you just need to travel. Like, you need to get out and try and do something different. So I went and traveled for 8 months. And I think that was the point where I kind of like realized that I'm not invincible and that I should care more about other people's feelings and I shouldn't be a piece of shit. And that's kind of like what happened. I had some crazy shit happen to me while I was traveling and like, you know, got like robbed, got jumped, like all this crazy shit, had my drink spiked and then fell in love, got my heart broken. And then it kind of just made me like figure like, okay, like I just need to fucking chill out a little bit. And then I come back home and then went to university.
Wait, really quick. Yeah. You said you got your drink spiked?
Twice, bro. It was fucked.
But with what?
Like, who's spiking your drink?
I don't know.
Why did they spike your drink?
Bro, I swear to God, I was at this like festival, spiked my drink, woke up like at
I feel
one
like you
end.
Said this somewhere else. Did I?
Yeah, yeah. I said it on the InSync podcast or some shit.
I think I listened to this somewhere.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it was crazy.
Continue, yeah.
Yeah, so we got fucking, I was with a bunch of boys and it was like, because all my actual friends left me, and these guys are like kind of taking care of me because they're like, oh, this dude's a little bit out of place. But long story short, I was like, okay, well, I'll get you guys a drink to say thanks for taking care of me because I'm going to go to the train station, go home now. And then, bang, I got everyone a drink. Then me and all the boys who had a drink, there was three of us, got smoked with whatever the fuck it was. And I woke up in a bush, like nose bleeding, like busted up, shirt ripped, like wallet gone, or like wallet empty, like phone gone, like belt gone, shoes gone. And I was like, damn, what the fuck happened, bro? And whatever they gave me, I was so out of it that I thought I was back home in Australia. And I'm like knocking on these doors. I'm like, yo, like, mom, let me in. Like, I'm here. I'm home. This dude come out. He's like, get the fuck off my porch before I beat the fuck out of you. And like, I was like, this is weird, bro. It was the most like confusing thing that it's ever gone on.
Low key, something could have happened to you. You wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
I feel like you would know if you've been. I feel like you would.
Yeah, you might know.
You would know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never been in a situation.
I'm not looking.
Like, I've never been in a situation. Fair, yeah, looking at him,
like, yeah. You would know if you've had something else.
Yeah, Maverick, what did it feel like?
Oh, my God.
All right.
What were you doing in, like, England besides just, like, traveling? That's it? Just, like, going?
No, I was working. So I was working at, like, a bar, and I was trying to build – I was pretty much scamming people, to be honest. Like, I was trying to build – like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll build your website and do your marketing, blah, 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 all this shit. I had no idea. I was just trying to make money to, like, keep the wheels going. So I was like, bro, I went on – what's it, fucking Squarespace?
Yeah.
And I was building – like, I'd go to, like, companies and be like, hey, like, you know, like, I'm here. I'll do it, like, whatever price – you need, I'll just build it out a website and I'll help your marketing.
Anything you need, I got
anything you need. Bro, like legit go like fucking Getty Images, like pull a fucking photo, like legit just stock photos, just try and make it like look pretty and then hand them over the website and they'll be like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, oh, well, you paid for it and then just disappear. Like it was terrible. And I also worked at a call center as well where I would call up. So this was like all at the same time because I was trying to save up my money again because I didn't have enough to keep moving. But I was at the call center and like call up like companies, I'm like, hey, like, I've got this really cool printer, like blah, blah, blah. Just trying to like fucking sell shit. Didn't make one sale. Like I was the worst. I was legit the absolute worst in the building. But it was good. Yeah, a good learning, like learning experience for sure.
You made it work. I mean, yeah. Here we are. All right, so now you go from the UK. At some point, you end up in America. Now I have a question. How are you in America for so damn long?
Me?
I feel like you've been here since before COVID.
But I was, yeah.
You have not left.
I haven't.
How?
I've gone to Mexico a little bit.
How?
Yeah. Right.
But that's
are you a citizen?
No. I'm on like a talent visa. So,
ah.
So when I first moved over here, I was on a B1, B2 visa, which means you can only be here for 6 months, can't really do much, and you're pretty like limited to what's going on. But at that time, this was before the show aired. This was before like anyone really knew who I was. And I was just like working away at this talent visa, which takes like forever. It was like $20,000 in like lawyers. And it was like probably took like a year to like get it like kind of sorted and stuff. I went back home to Australia for a little bit because the bushfires and stuff happened and I was like, I better go home and like kind of help my mom a little bit on the farm. And then I came back. And then, yeah, just the talent visa kind of happened. But when you're applying for that, you can't leave. Like, you can't go anywhere. If you leave, it like fucks it up or some shit. So my lawyers just said, stay put, stay in America. So I stayed here until it kind of came through, and then I had to go to Mexico City and get it stamped in the passport, and it was good.
Does it really help that you're famous, like that you have followers
yeah.
to get a talent visa? Or like yeah. maybe because you're on Netflix, like did that help?
Well, it's like I feel like definitely being on the show and having a couple shows under my belt definitely helped. But bro, it's like it's such a long and hard process. Like it's actually crazy to get yeah. a visa here, especially like a green card. Like I've known people that have paid like other people to like get married and go down that route because it's just so much easier. But I was like, well, I have to stick to the book. Like I have a lot of eyes on me. I can't really just go and like randomly marry someone.
Yeah, you got to do it
like
20
grand. Yeah. But yeah, bro, it's like such a hard process to get your visa here. I feel like I heard Australia is really difficult as well to get a visa and to like travel to.
If you're like in America, if you already live in America, it's almost impossible for you to like go to a different country and work there. It's not like impossible, but it's like really, really hard.
I heard that Australia, it's like they like essential people that like actually like you have to come to do a specific job of some kind. I've heard that.
I don't know. I know there's been like backpackers like where I'm from that will like come in and they have to work 6 months on a farm, like a lychee farm. I was like, damn, I couldn't think of anything worse.
To earn their stripes?
Yeah, to earn their like to be able to like move on and live there for like a year.
Man, all right. So do you think you're going to be staying in the U.S. for how long? Like you secure the visa, how long does that last?
Well, you've already secured it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm here for like next 3 years. I'm chilling.
Oh, great.
I think 3 to 5 years, I'm good. But I want to live in America. Like I want to keep a place here, but I want to like do what, you know, Liam Hemsworth and Chris Hemsworth did, like come out here, do their thing, find a wife, have some kids, move back to Australia and like relax. Cause life's so much more chill and like relax back there.
It is, man.
Whereas I feel like here's like so hectic. There's just so much going on, but it's like very good. Cause like you're in a city where there's motivated people with big dreams. So you just want to keep the wheels moving. Yeah. So I'm kind of just working towards to the point where I'm at, like hopefully like a Chris Hemsworth level, and I can just be like, cool, I can head back home now.
I want to talk to you about e-commerce, man.
Oh, shit.
I heard that you were a little e-com guy back in your day. This is after England.
Yeah.
This is after England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before the US.
Yeah. E-commerce is drop shipping?
Yeah, I was doing a bit of drop shipping.
You're an entrepreneur, man. We didn't say that in the beginning. Maverick, we had a little thing. I'm going to read it again just to read the whole thing because he didn't read the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Huge social media personality, star of the show Too Hot to Handle, entrepreneur, center of the hottest drama in LA from Australia, Harry Jowsey.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Going back, entrepreneur.
Yes.
Key word, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You did some e-com. I wouldn't expect that out of you.
Really?
I don't know why. I didn't.
Well, I won my first reality TV show, and I won like, it was like, I came out to be like $60,000. It was like meant to be 100K, but I had to split it with this girl, and then we had a car, and I was like,
you split it with a girl?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we won it together, and it was like really sweet.
But you had the option to not wait, split it, give
no,
it away
no,
the money?
No, like it was like, okay, you guys won 100K. And I was like, oh, sweet. I don't know. But I just remember seeing 50K wired to me. I was like, damn, Bangers. This is crazy. Like, this is wild. But like in total, it was like 60 grand because we had to sell a car. Like, we got a Suzuki Swift to like split. And right. I'm like, that's weird. Like, we hate each other now. So why don't we just sell it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I put all that money into like this sunglass company that I made with my best friend. So I was like, didn't know what to do. And I'm like, well, I don't want this sitting in my account because I'm going to get way too cocky and I'm going to feel like way too cool about myself. So I bought a fitness app and I bought just a fucking shitload of sunglasses. So I had this app where I was like off the back of the show, like, okay, cool. Like it just literally auto generates like meal plans and stuff like that and workouts for people like every single month. So I didn't really have to do anything. Didn't really need any qualifications because people already did it for me. And
was it working?
Yeah, bro.
You bought this company. Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. I bought an app off them. So they like gave me like, it's like a white label app.
Got it. Understand.
And they were just like, oh yeah, cool. So it was like 20 grand. I put that down. Boom. I was trying to like run that up on the side while the show was like airing and like doing my best. And then I flew to China with my best friend because I was like, what is something that we would be able to sell, like wouldn't be able to market really easy. It was our first business. We didn't really know too much about it. So we just like, fuck it, we'll just give it everything. We'll run the risk and see what happens. And it was good because we learned so much. And then, yeah, from that point, we've like obviously leveraged off to a couple other businesses. I think we have like five now or some shit. But and we're
currently,
yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. And you still have the sunglass thing and the app thing?
Yeah. Oh, the app. I sold it. I resold it to another friend because I was like, I actually don't really care too much about fitness. Like, I love learning, but I'm also not the guy that I don't want people to look up to me and be like, oh my god, that's a fucking fitness guru. Well, that's not me. Like, I don't really care too much about it. Whereas I want to like be more entertaining and stuff like that, and I don't want to be like some like self-help guru.
So you started drop shipping sunglasses. Is that what you were doing? Or you had stock?
No. So I had stock. We flew it in and that was the best thing. We learned so much about it. But from that point, I linked up with a whole bunch of other e-commerce guys and we're learning together. Like one of the boys that we're friends with was just like fucking doing insane numbers, like $1.4 million in 4 months at 20 years old. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, let me just teach you. He taught me exactly what was going on. So from that point, we're just like, okay, cool. Drop shipping this, doing that, like trying to follow trends and like keep it going because it was like at a peak. And then it got to a point where we were just like, fuck, we're just going to sell the formula.
And you're making good money doing this.
We're doing pretty well. Yeah. I was probably personally like the most I made in a day was probably like $6,000 or $7,000 to my account. And I felt pretty good about
it. Fuck yeah, bro.
Like at that age, because I was just like, oh, this is pretty crazy.
So why not run? Why didn't you choose to run with that instead of social media? Or did social media start after and you're like, oh, this is really exciting and fun, obviously, because now you're in LA and the lifestyle and more shit going on.
Yeah.
But so, like, you could have done that.
Yeah, no, so I was doing that as soon as that was like in the process. So we filmed the show, I come back, like the set of Talk to Hannah, we filmed that, I come back and I was running that stuff behind the scenes.
Oh, wow.
But as we were getting ready to move our entire life to LA, like I made the decision in 2 weeks, I was like, I'm going to move to LA, fuck it, because I know if I film, like if I miss out on being in the same room as like people like you guys or like whoever you may run into in LA, I was like, well, that's just going to be a wasted opportunity. It's an opportunity cost right now. So I had legit no money, bro. I had zero, like I had $3,000 in my bank account because I put all my money into this other company to try and get it floated to keep the wheels moving. And then I come back and then I started learning about drop shipping and started running that shit up. And then by the time I started linking with these dudes and making good money, that was when I just moved to LA and one of them flew out here and we were just running it up together. Like,
so this is like beginning of 2020.
Yeah, oh, bro.
So this is like pre-air of the, you're waiting on the waiting too on hot it. To handle
yeah,
the
waiting
air.
On it. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, I could sit here and like, oh yeah, cool. Like chill at my mom's house or like sell my clothes and like try and like just keep getting by or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I could just say, fuck it and try and do anything I can to make it happen and like stay focused and like keep the wheels moving and keep learning, because that was the most exciting thing about learning about drop shipping and e-commerce is like the ins and outs of business. And then it, you know, got me like into very like good places and like I got very comfortable very quick. But I was working like long days, bro. Like as soon as I moved to LA, I was like up at 6 a.m. every day and I wouldn't go to bed till like 1 or 2 a.m. because I would just be like trying to figure it out and like keep moving and make it happen. And I've got some friends that have made like, one of my friends, Luca Nets, bro, craziest kid. Bro, I saw him do like $500,000 in one day just from a makeup brand, just drop shipping. I was sitting there over his shoulder and I saw it firsthand. I was like, this is fucking bizarre. I was like, this shit's crazy. There's so much money in this.
Yeah.
It was wild.
And how he does it? Does he usually just do the AliExpress way that everyone does? Or
bro, I think he, because he was a little bit more sophisticated, so he would have had, he had a fulfillment center in LA, so he would ship it in. And then it would, cause bro, America,
he was moving numbers.
He was punching numbers. Like he had to have it like, so sorted, but like think about it, like America, you guys have like Amazon Prime. So it's like next day ship, like next day delivery.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, I'm not going to fuck around and like give people a subpar product and like make them wait 3 weeks. Whereas in Australia, like we don't really have that. Like we don't have like next day shipping. Like it takes a while to get to us. So like he just made it just completely automated and perfect.
Yeah. Are you public about what businesses you own now? Like, are those, keep those low key? Because I never heard you talk about that.
Yeah. No, not really, bro. Like, there's like passion projects that I have. Like,
what are they? Can we?
There's one that we've been working on probably for like a year now. And this was at the start of quarantine that I come up with this idea. We're calling it the universe because it's all like, but it's spelled like universe because it's all about like when I went through my breakup with my ex, like I really got in my own head and I didn't really fucking have much going for me. And I was just like, the show was airing and it was like, oh my God, this is meant to be the best time of your life. But I was just so broken about what was going on with her. And I didn't really give myself time to sit and reflect. And because quarantine, we sit and we get in our own heads. So I was sitting there, I was like, how do I help people not go through or like feel how I felt when I was like going through this breakup? Like, even though, you know, it people going through like way more hectic shit. But I was sitting there and I was like, there's so many like skincare products that make people like look good. There's not a lot of products that make people feel good. So I'm like, how do we make like wellness with intent? So I've got like this subscription box, which should be like, I think it's like a month or two away, where it has like a full on candle, where it has a scent specified to like the month. So, and then there's like eye masks in it that have like, you don't know what word it's going to be. It's like completely random. You rip it open, boom, and it has like a word on it, like loved. And we're just like, okay, the universe decided that you needed to feel loved. So that's like how we're going about it. And there's a candle, there's like soap, and there's all this stuff that is going to make you feel good and like sit down and give yourself time. Because what I really needed when I was heartbroken was I needed to give myself 10 minutes to go through like positive affirmations as to why I need to feel this way. Because I just didn't feel good enough. Yeah. I didn't feel like I was, you know, worthy. I didn't feel like I was loved. I didn't feel like I had, you know, abundance of money and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, well, especially being in LA, like it really helped open my mind to like sitting down and giving myself like clarity and stuff like that. So that's been like our biggest thing so far, is like sourcing and making it like super pretty. So you open up the box and you have like your mantra card that has like the blank word, and you see a mirror and you look in the mirror and it says like, okay, I am loved. I am this, I'm that. So you go through it, and then like the goal is by the end of it, you feel like a little bit better about yourself, or you can.
Yeah. So where are the affirmations? There's affirmations you read that come. Yeah.
It's on the mask.
Yeah. So it's like, on the eye mask and stuff. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a work in progress. There's been that. And off the back of that, we're trying to create an app, which is going to take a lot of work, but it's going to be worth it. Is essentially, it's going to be an app that, like a social media app, but people put up like their problems or like I'm feeling bad. Because like the worst thing is like what I realize is like as a young man, people don't really, like we don't really talk about our shit. Like we don't really talk to each other, or we don't really like
feel like inconvenienced by telling other people it.
And you feel like, oh, I'm gonna like, I'm Debbie Downer. Like people are gonna feel fucking sad that I'm like talking about my shit. So we're like, okay, let's make a social media app where, okay, maybe you're feeling a bit sad, but you're gonna shoot it out to the universe, and then someone in Australia might be like scrolling or going through it and be like, oh, I see that. Okay, oh, I see that your dog just died and you're going through a bit of stuff. I'm gonna send you a vibration. So you hold their name and their phone vibrates.
No shit.
So oh, like clean. We're thinking our goal is to be like, okay, like wherever you are, you're connected to everyone and people are caring about you. So like it's just, and obviously, you know, people are going to have real shit.
Bro,
going
I
on.
Love this. This is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So because like I don't know if you saw my podcast with my best friend, Jacob, the guy that's here.
Yeah.
Or how I met him was because he died. And he had no one there. Like he committed suicide. He had a drug overdose and he had no one there. And I had no idea who he was or what was going on. And it's a crazy story. But then I remember when I first met him and just wanted to show him that I was like, I love
this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Jacob. Yeah. He's crazy. He had the crazy story, but it's just, that's a story for another day. But
check it out on Harry's podcast.
Yeah. But so the goal is to just have like, you know, an app or like a safe space where people can just write their shit. Maybe it's anonymous. Maybe you want to put your face to it. Who cares? Like as long as you're getting it out of your head, because like some people don't have time.
With nowhere to put it.
Yeah, people don't have a journal to write shit down. Like, so that's like my 2-year goal is to get that to a point where like it's, you know, an everyday thing, like where people can write down their shit. And then, okay, cool. Like 10 people in Australia or someone in Indonesia sent you a vibration and you're sitting there and you're like, cool, like I feel connected to someone else and people will understand what I'm going through. But obviously there's going to be like sections where like if you've gone through real shit, you can just call someone and be like, here's a helpline.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Did you feel like when you broke up with Francesco in the beginning, when you had no one there because you were in America? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but like, did you feel like you had no one here because you're in America and all your boys are in Australia?
I'm very blessed that I'm with like all my friends in my circle, like genuinely care, and they genuinely like, we talk about shit. Like I think I'm very open to talking about this stuff with like anyone and on any podcast, because like with my friends, it's just completely common and normal. Like if we got a girl problem, if there's stuff going on at home, like we just talk about it and we get it out because I value their opinion and how they're gonna, and it makes me feel better like getting it out and getting it off the table. So I always did feel connected, but I also like I've been a bit of a like a
loner.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like I've always had like a bit of a bravado and I didn't really want to like cry to them about a girl and be like, oh, like I feel really sad about this. So I'd just disappear. Like I won't talk. I'd hide in my room and like not talk to anyone, or I'd go get in my car and just drive and like cry and like get it out and come back and be myself. Cause I always wanted, like, my biggest goal is like, I don't want to be the person in the room that makes people feel sad. I want to be the person in the room that makes people feel happy and like energized and like energetic. Cause I was like, I always want to like leave the room where people going, damn, that's a really good dude. Or like, he made me feel really good about myself. So I guess I've always just had that in my head. So at that point when I was going through that breakup, I didn't want friends to see me cry, or I didn't want anyone to see me like going through what was going on. But now I'm a little bit more open to having a bit of a cry with the boys.
You seem like you're very in tune with your emotions.
Yeah.
In a great way.
Yeah. I feel like you have to.
Like you know how you feel.
Yeah. Well, I just think, bro, like being in this social media space, like you really criticize yourself, and you've been around it for years. Like you really like sit, like you see a comment and, oh, maybe this doesn't look good, or maybe that doesn't look good. You really like criticize yourself. So I got to a point where like the show was airing and there was so much fucking like comments and stuff coming through about my relationship, about how I look or about what's going on, or like kind of like in the, you know, media outlets saying this. So I really like got it in my own head and I was like criticizing myself, feeling bad. And I'm like, actually, you know, like this is a good lesson to just sit down and like learn about myself and give myself space. Whereas I really didn't do that before. Like I really didn't like give myself time to learn about myself and like figure out who I am as a human and like who I want to be. So I guess like this whole process has been very like beneficial for that in my own head, my own clarity, I guess. Yeah.
Do you feel like that show, the whole point of the show was you're not supposed to like be affectionate. Yeah. Do you think that really helped realistically, or do you think that was
because I broke the rules, so like,
yeah, I guess you did
like I feel like it did help me, because like moving forward and like in relationships now, I've always been like, oh, I don't really care about sex, like it's not a big deal, but like if it happens, like great. But like, yeah, I the premise was awesome, like I get it, and like a lot of people do need to take a step back from just getting in someone's guts, whereas like I just didn't really care. I was like, oh, okay, cool, I'm just here to make a good show and have a good time. But the premise and everything, like, yeah, really beneficial, and like really like yeah, that definitely helped me like moving forward for sure.
Kind of a random question, but yeah. your brand is very much like about girls and relationships. Yeah. You're a fuckboy kinda. Like, yeah. Is that really you?
That's a
good, like, are you heavy play that? I mean, you're a smart fucking guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know that's your brand, because us sitting here and talking about your businesses and stuff, like, I've watched podcasts. I see you all over my For You page and shit. Yeah. I didn't know this shit about you. Like, yeah. I feel like your brand is heavily, like, you're kind of like that it boy. You know, hanging around Tana all the time, all the famous girls, all the shit.
Yeah.
Like, you that's like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I just think that, like, I was on a show where we weren't allowed to fuck, and I, like, hooked up with the hottest chick and blah, blah. So it's not, like, I kind of got put in the position where that was my brand. And like, also I'm very open with like my, like how I like have sex and like my sex life and what goes on. Like I'm extremely open. So I think like people just take that as like, oh shit, like this dude's a piece of shit and he's a fuck boy. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Like I'll go with that. I'll run
and
with
you do
it.
Like little sex advice on your Insta stories.
Yeah.
I love seeing that shit. He has fans like sending messages on that like feature. Uh-huh. Of like sex confessions.
Yeah.
And I swear these people make up shit, bro.
Like, bro, some of the stuff I'm like, there's no way.
Like,
what's
literally
the craziest one you've heard?
Type of shit like this, like, I was jerking off in my grandma's bedroom and my sister came in.
Bro,
and, like, just like weird shit, like that people, like, he makes a story replying to it.
Bro, I'll just be sitting there. I was like, come on, there's no way that happened. Like, bro, like some of the shit people are just like, holy fuck. Like my highlight reel on Instagram is just packed with this stuff. And I'm like, damn, like some people say some wild shit. I just don't know if it's true, but I have to answer it. I'm like, if it is, like if there's that sliver of chance that it's true, like someone's like, oh yeah, my cousin was sucking me off. And like,
no, that's literally one.
Like some shit like that, bro. I'll be like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
do you try to answer really seriously, or you're just like.
I try with like some of them when they want legitimate advice. And I'm like, look, you just shouldn't be fucking your cousin. Like that's just
number
one rule. Like from straight off the bat. But like some of them I try and give advice, but other ones I just can't. Like I just don't know how to respond, so I just leave it.
All right, brother. I want to get into some drama, right? But quick, a word from today's sponsor.
HelloFresh.
HelloFresh cuts out the dreadful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking in the comfort of your home and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes.
They offer 27 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals to calorie smart, craft burgers, and other gourmet options. And best of all,
using HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than supporting your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal. So what are you waiting for?
2 days ago, I literally opened my front door to three fire meals from HelloFresh. We got barbecue burgers, pork tacos, and a maple iced chicken plate with all separate sides. Last night, me and Maverick actually cooked up some barbecue burgers with caramelized onions and this chili sauce, but they are not just some average burgers. I swear I felt like a straight up chef. HelloFresh gives you the exact amount of random ingredients that you need that most, including myself, do not have in their own kitchen. So these burgers were so tasty, and now I remember this recipe for the future. I also gave my mom some pork tacos. She cooked them up last night. She was so hyped. Tacos with a hint of spice, some coleslaw, and lime. Straight fire. Go to HelloFresh.com/NoFox12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/NoFox12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Go to America's number one meal kit. Let's get fresh.
This is the tea
listen,
everyone wants.
You're
to
the drama guy.
Oh shit! I just keeps fighting me, bro. I can't help
you
it.
Are in the center of the drama, bro. Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on all the time. You're fighting with Jake Paul. You're hooking up with Tana. You're
I never
getting
hooked
back...
up with Tana.
What?
I never hooked up with Tana. Wait, never.
Are you sure?
I promise, bro. If you have a lie detector, I'll do it right now.
I see. You got back with Francesca, and then you got in like an argument with Francesca and Tana over some shit. Just update us, man. What's the latest tea?
Bro, so that situation was just ridiculous, bro.
It's entertaining, though. We love it.
But it was great. Like, it was so confusing. Like, it was very confusing. And I guess, like, looking back, the whole situation, I could have been so much more.
What exactly happened? Just okay. Quickly lay it out.
Okay. Francesca had a breakup with her girlfriend, right? She was going through it. And I was like, cool, I'm going to come to Cancun. I'm going to come see you. We're like hanging out. It's all good. Like it feels right. And I was like, damn, it's good to see you again. Like, but again, we had this conversation where we have to be friends. Like we missed out so many like building blocks in our relationship because we just dive straight in the deep end. Like, I love you. Like, let's have kids. Like it was like straight to the end goal. Whereas like we need to just be friends and start from the ground up and go from there. So we were just hanging out. It wasn't anything crazy. Like, and it was really cool because I just was like, damn, like I really did miss this person. I really did miss talking to you every day and like laughing and just making dumb jokes and like having my best friend there. I was like, damn, I really do miss it. And I was saying in other interviews that like it was, I just know life was so much better with her in it. So I really like was cherishing like just spending time with her and like not posting about her or anything like that. And then bang, like we're outside a fucking restaurant and we got like paparazzi'd and I was like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter at this point because people already know we're hanging out together. So I may as well, like, I was like, I don't mind posting. She's like, okay, cool. Like neither. And then anyway, long story short, we hang out again, like in Tulum for my birthday, all the friends, crazy time. Everyone's having a really good time. And I fly back to LA. She goes to Miami. She's doing a thing out there. At this point, still, like, just friends, still trying to figure it out. I know that she's trying to move to LA, and we're just going to, like, go from there and try and, like, start from the ground up. You know, like,
because
I was like, it's been, like, 3 years, right? And I was like, I still love you, and I still care for you, and all this stuff. And then, anyway, I'm at dinner. Tana does a silly post. And I posted.
Always trying to get in the middle of shit, huh?
Bro,
she's smart. Bro,
she's so good at that.
She knows what she's doing.
Bro, I told her, I was like, because I just, the situation is so sensitive and it was just like walking on eggshells. I was like, look, it was a very bad breakup. We're both like PTSD, like anything will set either of us off. Like, situation is very sensitive. I just call her Tornado Tanner. I was like, she's going to do what she wants. We're different people. I can't control her. She can't control me. So I was like, look, like I love and respect her because she's my best friend. And like, she's right or die. Like, she's loyal as fuck. And then it obviously kicked off with Frankie. She didn't appreciate, you know, us posting together and stuff like that. And I was like, I get it. I understand. And I'm sorry. I'll do what I can to reverse like the damage I did. And like, I'll take down the TikToks.
But Tanner wouldn't.
And Tana was, and I called Tana, I was like, hey, like, you know, really appreciate it if you just took those TikToks out.
Just really quick, super easy.
Just
casual.
Like, and then she made another post, didn't she?
Bro, and then she's like, yeah, of course, it's cool, sweet. And then, bro, like, then like 20 minutes later, I check her Instagram story and she posted some shit. And I was like,
it was like screenshots of them texting or something.
Bro, she posted some shit and I was like, please, come on. And then she's like, oh, you're going to hate it when you see my TikTok. And I was like, damn. She's like, wait till you see Twitter. And I'm like, Tana, please. Like, what are you doing? And then, yeah, bro, she did a thing. And I was like, whatever. Like, I can't control her. She can't control me. So whatever. I just like love and respect her. And then obviously it upset Francesca. So I was doing the absolute I could, the absolute most I could, like in private, because like we didn't have, like last time we broke up, it was extremely public and it was extremely disgusting and vile, like both of us going back and forth.
There was a lawsuit that came out of this, no?
Oh, it was like a cease and desist, like please stop talking about me. Right, okay. And then she sent me one back. I was like, of course.
So
like,
nothing ever came of that?
No, nah, nothing came of that. But it was more so just that situation, it got twisted in the media, but it was a cease and desist where I was like, hey, like I'm done talking about you. Please stop talking about me and we can like squash it. So that's kind of how that situation ended. But this second time around, all this stuff happened, and I said to Francesca, I was like, I would, you know, respectfully would love to figure this situation out privately and offline. I don't want to go posting here. I don't want to be doing stories here. I don't want to be getting involved. Like, I'll do what I can to keep this situation, like, try and put a lid on it, because I don't want I said to her, I was like, the when it gets terrible and ugly is when you let other people's opinions and energy, like, into it, and then it will explode.
Totally.
Because I was like, we're the only two people in this relationship that matter. No one else. Like, this is our relationship. Like, let us figure it out before, like, giving public opinion and letting people, like, weigh in on it. Because then you're just going to have ideas and, like, it's going to skew everything. But she didn't appreciate that. And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to do what I can. And then this situation just went crazy. So I was like, all right, well, fuck. Like, I apologize, everyone. I was like, look, I did what you asked. I'm trying to do my best to be a good dude, but I was like, look, like, you know what, maybe this isn't meant to be. And
girls, man,
where do you think it went wrong, man, though? Like, because you were hanging out with Tana and she just didn't trust that.
His
I feel like the post was so joking.
Yeah, I get why Francesca's upset, and I understand it, and
you're a catch, Harry,
but
you're too hot to handle.
but I said to her, I was like, look, like I get it, and I know the situation's sensitive. And by all means, like, it wasn't my goal. I didn't, yeah. It wasn't my intention. I didn't come back to LA to be like, oh, Tana, like, let's go to dinner and post up. Like, we were just there having a couple shots for my birthday, like, enjoying it and just, you know, seeing her again and, like, giving her, you know, a little recap of what was going on. And then, yeah, it just kicked off again. But as I said to Frankie, I was like, look, like, I genuinely just want the best for you. And I'm sorry, like, it didn't work out with us. And, you know, I just really want her to be happy and find peace and love in her heart. And I always tell her, I was like, look, I'm a phone call away. Like, it's not like we're enemies. It's not like I hate you. Like, I called you and I tried to figure things out and move forward. And okay, it didn't work because someone else got involved in the situation and I tried to handle it, you know, like, privately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just chaos, bro. And I was doing my absolute best to, like, to keep it, like, hushed and, like, sorted and stuff like that. But I guess they're both very big personalities and they just don't give a fuck. And they're like, oh, we're going to go to each other.
And as if this doesn't sound like a big enough headache already, this guy's also, are you still in beef with Jake Paul?
Bro, his boys ran into me at the Logan Paul fight. Yeah.
So are you guys beefing?
Bro, he doesn't like me. I just don't care. Because it's very bizarre. I don't understand.
But did you start this or did he start this? Because I swear you have a vendetta to, like, sleep with his ex-girlfriends or something.
No. Okay. We actually met, like, twice. Like, super nice guy. He's like, oh, yeah, let me get your number. Let's link up at some time. And because it was, like, me, him, and Tanner at dinner and, like, a couple of his other friends. And it was really cool. Like, it was really chill. Nothing went on. Then I guess I started seeing Julia. And then someone in the media, like, asked me, like, outside Bo, was like, oh, yeah, what are your thoughts on, like, Jake and Logan? Like, now you're seeing Julia. I was like, bro, the kid's legend. Like, hats off to their success and their hard work. I don't really care about it. I was like, I don't see it as an issue. And then for some reason, I guess, like, Jake and Julia were still connected. And then one night she just went and stayed at his house. And I was like, whatever, cool. I was like, it's got nothing on me because, you know, you can't really argue with, you know, history and, like, love. And I was like, we're still figuring each other out. So I was like, whatever, cool. Didn't really give a shit. And then some shit kicked off, like, and then I was like, you know what, like, fine, like, sweet, like,
yeah, let's run with it.
I was like, if this is how it's meant to be, I was like, cool, and maybe, you know, there might be a boxing match or whatever. I was like, I don't really give a fuck, like, I'll fight anyone. So I was like, all right, sweet, like, let's go with it. And then, yeah, just some other shit happened, like, offline, like, and then I flew to Miami and, like, hooked up with one of his girls, and it's shit, like, it just
I was like, whatever, bro. I was like, just shit just kept happening. And it was just, it was annoying because like.
Wait, so you got, you're like, fuck this. And then you just went and hooked up with a different one.
Yeah, but I was like, what? I was like, whatever, you know what? Like, I don't really give a shit. And then, yeah, bro. But then at the Logan Paul fight, I was leaving the fight. And like everyone, like a couple of people asked for photos here and there. And this one guy was like, yo, Harry. Like, I was like, oh, does he want to pick? And then I saw that it was like with Tanner's crew. And I was like, oh. I don't know who this is. Walk over. He's like, oh, you want to fight Jake? And I was like, bro, I really don't give a fuck. He's like, oh, do you think you'll beat him? And I was like, well, if he signs a contract, like it'd be a good time. Some shit. And then he was talking shit, but I was lit as fuck. So I was like, I don't really give a shit, bro. Yeah. Like, my issue isn't with you. And I'm like, right. It's kind of seems silly for you to try and make enemies because one day he might fire you and then you're going to look like a clown and no one's going to hang out with you. I was like, don't do that. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's relax. But the thing is, bro, like I really just don't give a fuck. Like I really love Logan. I think Logan's he's an absolute champion. I just don't get why Jake has so many insecurities against me and like is trying to do weird shit like behind the scenes and stuff like that and like saying weird shit about me. I'm like, bro, like I like met you twice. Like if you want to have a little dinner and a little like red wine and like sit down and like
I think his life is a movie in his head.
Yeah, bro. I just don't get. I was like, bro, just
and chill. It is his life is a movie.
His life's crazy, bro. I'm
like, but that's crap. I thought it was like some deeper shit than that.
Nah, bro. I really don't give a fuck. Like, I really don't care. Like the Julius shit at the time, like obviously stung because I was like, oh.
I mean,
shit.
I actually can get it because you were hooking up with his ex.
Like, I can see someone being petty over that. It's like, yeah, what you doing, bro? Those are my girls.
Like, come on, bro. All the girls in LA.
Bro, but I just, the dumbest thing is like, no one owns anyone. I'm like, bro,
that's,
you don't.
That's
like,
very true.
That's valid. Like, that is
that's
so
a valid image.
Like when Frankie was like, oh, I'm going to go hook up with Jake. I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't own you. Do your thing. Like, if that's what's going to give you love and happiness in your heart, why go crazy.
Are you so like.
Bro, because here's
calm and confident in yourself.
Here's the thing.
Like, everything is okay. It's okay. That's how the world is supposed to be. It's okay.
Because, bro, the only thing that you can control is your happiness. That's only, like, and you only control what goes on with you. You can't control what goes on with other people, like what goes on there. So why give a fuck about it? Why care about what's going to happen with this other person or that other person? Like, that's got nothing to do with me. Like, okay, cool. Like, whatever. It may suck, but I control my happiness. I control what goes on in here and my heart and like the energy and the what I give out. So who really gives a fuck, bro? Like that's the thing. It's like, okay, if you want to go fuck him or if you want to go do that or if you want to go like fucking do some weird shit or fucking whatever. I'm like, I don't really care. Like that's on you. Like you're holding that energy. I'm just having a good time. I'm alive. Like I know I'm not going to get this day ever again. So I may as well just hit it, fucking skip and dance and have
but
a good time.
But where did you like form that mindset, bro? Because like, yeah, sure, it's easy to be like, yeah, I control my happiness. Fuck being sad. Yeah. I don't want to be sad. And fuck that. But like,
but when someone burns you, usually the bridge is gone, and you're like, you know, nah, fuck that person.
I just don't care, bro. That's like, it's just like, I don't know. I really got to a point where I sit down and I was like, I could really like choose to be happy or I could really choose to be sad. Like when there's real shit going on, like, yeah, of course, like, you're gonna feel a little bit sad about it. But then you just have to sit and just like try and like do your absolute best to change that mindset. And when it doesn't work, I just go outside and I just start doing shit until I'm happy again. And I'm like, okay, sweet. It's working. Like we're good. Yeah. I don't know.
Was your mental health ever like bad?
Yeah, bro. I tried to kill myself before. Yeah, of course.
So this was a mindset you formed somehow.
Yeah, I just, bro, it's just like,
that's what I mean. It's easy to be like, oh, you're depressed, man? Just be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not, what does that do?
True.
But like, you actually changed something inside to where, like, cause like you talking about like your ex going, oh, I'm gonna go fuck Jake Paul. And you're like, okay, if that's what,
yeah, if that's, it's just like,
if that's what tickles your fancy.
I just realized that, like, I just wanna be that guy that like people look at and be like, damn, like, you know, Kevin Hart, you watch his shit, like, he's gonna be funny. It's gonna be a good time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how do I be like that and just be an all around happy, positive person? And like,
it starts from in here.
Yeah. I was like, I can't, like, I just can't sit there and be sad or twisted and worried about like every little thing. Like it's actually, it started when that was good. Yeah, it started when me and Francesca broke up the first time, and I was watching Impulsive, and that was why one of my goals. And I started that Charlie Rocket winning streak. So this guy come on, and he was talking about his momentum and how his like mindset went from like, he had a brain tumor, he had all this shit going on, and he started like doubling down on the bad shit that was going on in his life. And
doubling down on it.
Yeah. Mean. So like he would be like,
like he would get sad about one thing and then he'd get sad again about another thing and just keep getting more and more sad until a point where he just didn't want to do anything. He was like, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah.
But the only thing that changed was his mindset. And he started like this little winning streak thing where, which would I have tattooed on my hand that I see every single fucking day. And he'd be like, oh, actually, you know what? Today I woke up, winning streak. Today I went and got a coffee, winning streak. I went, was able to go outside, winning streak. There's money in my bank account, winning streak. Like I can drink water, winning streak. Like shit like that. So change your mindset to go from like,
oh,
I'm sad to like, to actually, like, ooh, like shit's really good. Like I can pick this up. I've got hands. Some people don't have hands. Like some people can't like fucking
see. So that's what it is to you. It's like, oh, I have hands, winning streak.
Yeah,
like
I'm alive.
Learning to appreciate smaller things so that it can build up to bigger things.
And like, bro, I think that was the biggest thing for me is just like switching over from like, oh, I'm sad. Like the breakup sucks. Like, oh, this happened, that happened. Like, nah, bro, like be happy that it fucking happened. Like, damn, you dated one of the baddest women on earth. Like, sick, like cool. Like we had a good time. Like, boom, moving on to the next thing. Like life's amazing. We can go travel. We can do this. Like we're able to go outside again. We're able to fucking eat good food and have a good time. And I guess like people probably listening will be like, oh, it's easy for you guys. But like, nah, bro, we've all been through the shit. Like everyone struggled. Like no one who's successful like hasn't struggled. Like every successful person I've ever met has like been through the shit.
Yeah.
Like they've had some really low days and some really dark days and they've been at the absolute bottom because they know where they don't want to be. They want to fucking hustle and keep shit moving. So yeah, I don't know. It's just a winning streak thing. That was the biggest thing for me.
So how was hanging out with Charlie on my TikTok? I see you hanging out with him.
Oh, legend, bro. Just
how did that happen?
It was from I DM'd him from after watching Impulsive, and I put it on my. I was like, hey, like the I wrote in my quantum book, and this was after the show, and it was actually the journal from the show that they gave us, and I was like wrote all my shit down. I was like, I want to meet Charlie Rocket. I want to go on Impulsive. I want to do this. I want to meet Logan Paul. I want to be friends with Justin Bieber. All this shit, and it all fucking started happening. But how I met him was from that. And I was like, oh hey, like I'm moving to LA. I don't have a manager. Like, what's your advice for like this industry? Because I don't know what I'm getting into. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know how to feel about it. He was just always just lovely and full of knowledge and advice. And I'm like, cool. Like, you know what? Like, I really appreciate the time and energy that this guy's giving me. And then when I first met him, dude, this guy was like high on life, bro. Just bubbly, just very like at like the person that I want to be. Like you, every time you're at his house, like he's just always smiling. He's got like soft eyes and you can really feel that he cares about what he's doing and he really cares about making other people's lives better. So I'm like, you know what? Like if I could be 10% like this guy, I'm on the right path. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's your next goal? Just keep doing like those universe things and just keeping.
Well, the biggest goal for me is to be a positive impact. Like that's just been my biggest thing since day one. Is like, how do I be a positive impact? How do I make people entertained? That's why I really don't give a shit about this boxing stuff. Cause like for me, when I like, I don't know if you guys believe in all this juju stuff or whatever, but when I started like
definitely
calling people out and like trying to fight people and like chatting shit, bad stuff just started happening to me, like because I was putting out bad energy. So I had like first time I've ever been pulled over in my life. I got pulled over and got hit with a speeding ticket. I was like, damn. I went to the high pass and I checked my car tire and there's a fucking nail in it. I was like, damn, this sucks. And then all this other bad stuff started happening and I was like, what did I change? I started being a fucking dick. Like I started putting out bad energy, so bad shit started coming back. So I was like, okay, well, that's what I'm gonna stop. Like I don't really care about that. So to answer your question, like the next thing for me is like, it's either like another show or maybe it's another thing where I just, you know, make people laugh, whether it's with me or at me. I don't really give a fuck. But like my biggest thing is like I just want people to like sit at home and have a good time. And like I want to read the comments where people are just laughing at the stuff that we're putting out. Yeah.
It's amazing. You have a lot of passion in that.
Yeah, of course, bro. It's weird because this mental
health. A lot of real passion that like.
Yeah, bro. It's just like it's crazy because like the mental health stuff is like something that's like been with me since day one. Like the reason why I went on the first TV show was because my brother's best friend committed suicide and I was in a bad way. And then my best friend from high school attempted to commit suicide all within like a couple of weeks. And I was at the final like stage of like university where I was like, had to do like my like exams. And I was like, fuck this shit, bro. This isn't what I meant to do. Like I'm sad. Like I'm depressed. Like this sucks. So then I saw like one of my friends tagged me on like this TV show and it was called Heartbreak Island. And I was sitting there And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to win this shit. Like, I'm just going to go win it, and I'm going to make people happy. Like, that's what I need to do. And ever since, like, I remember that moment, like, I was sitting by this little creek, like, this little river with my dog, and I was sitting there. I was like, I'm just going to be a positive impact because people need to laugh. Like, my friends, like, these guys that, you know, that are sad, they need to look at something and feel happy and, like, have a good time, like, whether that's me or something that we're working on. Like, I don't know, but I was sitting there, and all this stuff happened, went on the show, won it. I remember I had a really
that is so selfless, like amazing.
But
you thought like, man, my friends need someone to like laugh at. Like, yeah. I gotta be I gotta be that light.
Yeah. So I went on the show and I just made an absolute dick of myself. I had a good time. I was like, you know what? Like, let's go on there. Like, let's have a crazy time. Like, let's make it make people laugh and try and like be, you know, a positive impact and that stuff. And then I met Jacob, where he was like going through some shit, like some real shit, like. Cause he's got a lot of gang ties back home, and he grew up in a very like hectic like household and stuff like that. So I just like right away, I was like stuck on this human. I'm like, bro, like I'm gonna make sure like everything's okay. Like everything's all good. So that show happened, and then Too Hot to Handle happened, and I was like, cool. Now my impact's bigger. You know, I'm making more people happy. Then I was doing like the confession corner and like the Love Doctor stuff. And I was seeing all the replies and people like, okay, cool. Like, okay, I'm on the right path. Like I'm doing the right things. And then as things like started to slow down a little bit and things started to like really like simmer after the show, this is actually like probably like a month ago, one of my best friends from the first show committed suicide, and his name was Tavita.
And this is recently.
Recently, bro. I remember my birthday in Tulum, just like with everyone around me having a good time, like excited, and I was just fucking in tears. I was like, this sucks, bro. Like, this really sucks. Like, there's people that are actually hurting. There's people that are actually going through stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Like, just more motivation. Like, I just need to keep fucking pushing. Like, you know, I just have to just keep, like, trying to, like, make people entertained or, like, try and make people, like, laugh. Like, whether it's, like, in front of the camera, whether it's behind the camera, whether it's, like, Instagram stories or whether it's, like, this or that. It's, like, my goal is to just make people genuinely, like, you know, and maybe it's like 10 minutes, you know, sit down and like look at their shit like and have a little laugh, or like see a podcast where I'm talking about like fucking bitches and blah, 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 like eating pussy, like whatever just makes people laugh. So that's, it got to a point where as soon as I heard that news, and bro, I've never, it was the craziest feeling. It was the most bizarre feeling that overcome me when I got that phone call, and I had like, I dropped my phone, everything went numb. And I had like tingles and stuff through my arms. And like, I remember just like sitting there, just like fucking like my brain, like implode, like how the fuck did I let this happen? Like, how did I, and even though it's not on me or whatever, but I was just sitting there, I was like, damn, like really just need to just focus on this stuff. But you know, I know, I just keep seeing little signs of him and stuff like that, of him like just checking in. Like we live at this building in Beverly Hills, and like right at the top, there's no birds, nothing comes up there. But as the day after that happened, a little finch come up, and I was like, looked up what the meaning of it. And it was just like a little like sign of just saying like, hey, we had the totem, like read it. It was like, it just was just saying like, hey, don't be so focused on the end goal. Cause I was, my whole focus for like the past month was like, this is what like the end goal is, like be thankful of what goes on. And so we sat down and like really thought about it, and it's really bizarre, bro. Like when we got back from Miami like last week, a couple of days ago,
yeah
it was yesterday, I was sitting there and I fucking heard this bird again. I was like, how the fuck is this bird here again? Like, what's going on? And then this morning, like I swear to God, bro, I was on one. Like I'm sitting in my living room, and I was with Jacob, and I was like, bro, I feel electric today. Something's happening.
You're so optimistic, bro.
I was like, something's going on, bro. I was sitting there. I moved all my goals. I put them under, like, right in the kitchen, and I was sitting there. I was soaking up the sun. I was like, something's going on in here. Like, I can feel some crazy shit's, like, about to happen. I don't know what it is, but I was like, I know that, like, what we're working on is it's all gonna make sense. So I've just been like, yeah, on one, bro. It's crazy.
My whole like perspective of you has been like, when you came into here, I was just like telling Tanner, I was like,
no, you're teaching me right now for sure. Like, I love this. This is a great conversation.
Yeah. No, the whole time, like before you came here, I was like, oh, Tanner, I don't know like how we're even going to talk to this guy. All he cares about is like being a douchebag, yeah, basically. And then
so they get all the time.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
No, and that's why I told him. I was like, I want to talk to him about all the other shit.
Yeah. No, I get it all the time, but it's also like I'm putting that image out. Like it's not like I'm sitting,
strategic. You're smart, bro.
Well, it's not like I'm, because it's the also like, bro, sex sells. And, oh, 100%. And end of the day, like it's the number one
smart motherfucker. Keep doing you
marketing tactic that's worked since day one. Yeah. Like people put hot chicks on billboards, yeah. Hot people on billboards.
Boom, you get clicks.
It clicks. So like me fucking having a joke around about like fucking bitches having a blah 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 doing.
People want to hear about it because like, no one else talks about it.
Yeah, people just like, oh cool, like it's funny, like whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool, like, and that's like I'm very blessed to be on like podcasts like this where I get to talk about like actual shit that goes on like my actual brain and stuff like that, or like my purpose and
yeah, whatever's love it, going bro. On.
Yeah.
What would you say? I know this is a very large question,
yeah,
but everybody has a specific answer that kind of fits themselves.
Yeah.
What would you say your meaning of life is to you? I'm sure you've thought about that and you've,
damn,
right? Do you have a meaning of life to you?
I just think that my meaning is to be a positive impact. Like, and I said it a million times, but like just, for me, I think the most meaningful and fulfilling thing that I'll ever get is to be able to know that maybe I made, you know, 1 million people happy, or 2 million people, or just I made like a large mass of people just have a good time. Like, you know, like Ashton Kutcher, like he's my end goal. Like that dude's, he's got it figured out. He went on, did shows, movies, just made people laugh, having a good time, like Punk, like that shit was hilarious. Like for me, like whenever I'm talking to production companies, I was like, look, anything around Punk'd, like if I could be like that host, like, you know, like playful and like involved in it. I was like, for me, like that's the type of area like I want to go down. Like he's got the blueprint. So like, can we follow that word for word? But yeah, bro, I think my meaning for life would be to just make it a better place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Man, what does the future hold for Harry Jowsey? Like 2021.
Bro,
halfway over.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Like I've got some absurd goals and some crazy shit that I've written down in the past.
Can we put some in the air right now,
bro? I want to be on cover of Men's Health and GQ.
Okay.
I want to be a Calvin Klein model. I want to 10x my social media impact. So like how I hit people, which is bizarre because I was like I could never imagine myself with like 40 million followers or whatever it was, but I was like, it's not the number, it's more so like the impact and like seeing people
of people. Yeah,
yeah. And I want to be in a Will Ferrell movie. I will be in a Will Ferrell movie. I can't act. I've never acted a day in my life, but I will do it. I was like, I just would love to be like alongside someone, like see how he works, goes on. What was the other one?
So you think about this shit.
Like all the time. I just think of obscure stuff because I was like, if I write it down, it's going to happen. Like it's just.
If you write it down, it's going
to
happen.
It's just, and my phone background is literally like, it's already happened. Time just has to catch up. Like that's how I think about things.
Woo.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, bro. There's just so much. And
so you'll sit there and think of just ridiculous shit.
Just
because it's kind of entertaining to you that like, I mean, you wrote down that you wanted to be friends with Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
we talked about that once, bro.
Bro.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, of course, bro. I was on the show. I was on the show talking to Francesca, sitting there, bro, literally on the fucking, looking at the little iguanas and shit, like running around, like the cameras were down. It was like very chill day. And I was like, damn, like, you know what? After this, I'm going to be friends with Justin Bieber. And she's like, he won't be friends with you. Like, oh, he won't watch this. I'm like, nah, I feel like it's going to happen. I was like, I'm just going to keep talking about it. I was like, that guy's the goal. Like, bro, I went and I told him this on the phone. I went to his concert when he was in Brisbane. And I cried, bro. It was me and my best friend. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, that's a human up there that's done all this, has all these people like just in love with him and knows every single word of his songs. I was like, shit, bro. I was just so overwhelmed with like his success and like how crazy he is. And then, bro, so the show had, and this is the most bizarre like fucking name drop situation. I was at Dan Bilzerian's house working out, one of my boys. And I was sitting there and we just finished training and was chilling by the pool and like having a talk to like his assistant, this guy Jeremy, really nice dude. And I look over the fence and there's Odell Beckham just throwing the ball around.
No shit.
Because he's got a place near him.
Oh.
And they're like chucking the ball
with
around.
With the Richard Millia.
Yeah. having a good time, like working out. And then I get a text. He's like, yo, like Harry, like Justin Bieber just followed you. And I was like, I'd look at my phone. I was like, whatever. Like, I was like, this has been a bizarre, like, week. I was like, there's no way. And then
I'm like sitting there, and then my phone starts lighting up. Like all my friends are calling me, like, "Yo, like Justin Bieber just followed you." I was like,
"No, he didn't."
How do people see it?
But because I guess people, because he saw my video, he must have liked it, and then his fan pages must have started like tagging me or something. I don't know, but it was like friend of a friend was like, "Bieber follows Harry." And I was like, no way, bro. Like, no way. Like, it doesn't. That's, I was like, you're talking shit. And then I check it. And I was like, holy fuck. I was like, no way. And then I get a DM, my boy. And I was like, there's just no fucking way. And, bro, you have to imagine, like, this is, like, the biggest inspiration for me. Like, someone who's been through this shit. Like, I was sitting there. I was like, no, like, Bro, I started crying, like a grown man in Dan Bilzerian's house, watching OBJ play, just had a fucking crazy workout with my boy, and I'm just like crying and like freaking out, bro. I threw my phone. I was like, no way. He's like, what's your number? I was like, I typed it so quick, bro. He calls me and he's
no
just,
shit.
He, bro,
on site like that?
Sweetest dude. Yeah, we started, like, we left because I was like, my friend was like, oh, maybe you should chill out. Like, we don't want you acting like that in front of like actual like, you know, celebrities and stuff like that. I was like, sorry, yeah, we'll chill, we'll relax. But I was just so hyped because I was like Biebs is the fucking GOAT.
Of course.
And bro, we start driving and he calls me. And I remember sitting in the car with my friend Mitch and I picked up the phone and Mitch just immediately pulled the car over, turned it off. And he sat there and he didn't want to breathe. He didn't want to make a single noise. And I was sitting there, I was like, yo, what's good?
You gotta play it cool, you know?
I was like, what up, JB? and he was just the nicest dude on earth, just the sweetest soul.
He just randomly wanted to call you?
Bro, he just wanted to check in. Like, he just wanted to make sure I was all good. He's like, hey, like, you know, he's been through the absolute fucking craziness of Hollywood. Like, he's been since he was a kid, right?
Yeah. So,
bro, the craziest thing for me is, like, time is the most... For me, like, time is the most valuable thing on earth because you can't get that back. So the fact that Justin Bieber took time out of his life to give to me, to talk to me on the phone, like, I was just so, like, taken away by this human. And all he wanted to do was just check in and make sure I was okay, make sure that everything that we're going through was all good. And he's like, I watched the show and, you know, like, you and Frankie, blah, 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 just had, like, a conversation about the whole situation. And I was like... This is just crazy, bro. And then ever since then, I've seen him a couple of times. You know, obviously I'm still fucking nervous to talk to him because I was like, this is a goat right here.
Yeah.
And I'm not like used to this stuff. So I was like, I remember I was talking on the phone. I was like, so bro, like, I've never really been friends with like Justin Bieber before. So like, how many times can I text you before it's annoying? And he's like, yo, just don't like blow up my phone. Like, you know, I'm pretty busy. Like, I'm blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm doing this and that. I was like, of course, bro. Like, he's like, I'm a normal human. Like, just understand that. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was like, I don't mean to be like that. But I was like, damn, like, obviously, you know, it's one of the most craziest feelings on earth to have a conversation with a human of, you know, that level and to just hear how humble and how nice and how caring he is.
Yeah.
Like, that was the most eye-opening thing for me because I was meeting TikTokers and they were acting like
bigger than him.
Like bigger than him. And then I talked to him and he's like sweet, caring, compassionate, and just wanted to just listen. Like that's all he wanted. He just wanted to listen. He wanted to give advice and he just wanted to be like just a really, really, really good human. And I was like, I said to him, bro, I could just die now. Like, that's it. Like, I was like, that's just the
most iconic moment.
Yeah, I was like, that was just the craziest thing. And I've always been way too, this is the first time I actually really spoke about it because I've always been way too scared to talk about it because I don't want people to be like, oh my God, like, he's name dropping and he's doing this. But like, damn, like, bro. Like,
that's relatable, bro. Anybody in your position, I feel like.
Crazy. And then like, he'll check in every now and then or I'll see him out and he'll like, what up, Harry? Like, give me a hug and like. I'm like, this is wow, bro. Like, it's just.
I swear you told me once you were at dinner or something, or you're getting lunch on the sidewalk and he pulled up or something, bro, and like, just said hi to you.
That was the craziest shit ever on like the most like random morning. The most random.
Like Sunset Boulevard or some shit.
Bro, Toast.
Yeah.
Have you been to Toast?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my boy, Christian, we're leaving and we had some food and stuff like that. And it was like a random morning. It was like super early and there was like a fleet of cars. It was like, obviously, he had his security and stuff like that. And they just turned around and I was like, oh shit, like I'm about to get a fucking shot. Or like, what's going on here? And then this just smiley, like happy dude and like Haley just like, yo, what up, Harry?
Like pops out.
That's legendary.
Like driving the other way, bro.
Like just he's sitting on the sidewalk. Around.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just turn around. And I was like, no fucking way. And I was like, hey, bro, like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm going to give you a call. Like, I'm coming to Drew House. Like, we're doing this, we're doing that. I was like, damn. I was like, bro, I'd love to work out or do whatever. And, bro, just the craziest shit ever, like, on earth. And I was like, damn, like, this is – I was like, that was kind of, like, the coolest moment of my life is just to have, like, the king, JB, just be like, hey, like, what's good?
Oh,
like,
God.
That was, like – that was it. And ever since then, bro, I've always, like – realize like how much that meant to me, and if anyone ever asks for a photo, like wants to like talk to me, I've always been like, bro, of course, like I want to learn about you. Like every time I meet someone, I'm trying to get their name, like I'm trying to figure out what's going on, even if they're like too nervous to talk to me or whatever. Like I'm just trying to
make listen. It easy on them.
Yeah, I'm like, I remember my first ever fan that I've ever met. I hate calling fans because
me too. They're like my friends,
family. Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's friends. I was running at UCLA, and it's a girl called Zena, and she started running beside me. She's like, oh my God, like I'm freaking out. I was like, don't, like it's all good. It's just me. Like I'm chilling. Like, and she said she's met so many celebrities. She said no one's like ever been like as understanding. Like I stopped running. Like we sat down and like I wanted to learn about her. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like I'm trying to meet people. Yeah. Like I'm a human. I'm me. Like I'm like, okay. Like there's a couple extra numbers on a screen.
Yeah.
But like I love learning about people and I love being in this position because then it gets to like make me like be forced to talk to people, whereas like usually I'm a little bit like nervous and shy like whenever I'm like out and about, but like when people come up to me, like I get excited because I was like, oh, okay, sick, like I get to meet more people and then learn about people, their experiences and their journey. Like it's crazy.
All right, before we wrap this up, I like to do a little thing.
Okay,
you know, there's a guy, his name's Jason, he's sitting at home right now watching.
Shout out Jason.
Yeah, he actually just broke up with his girlfriend.
Oh, shit.
He's really sad.
Oh, fuck.
He's down in the dumps. He thought that was the love of his life.
Damn, I've been there, Jason.
Now he's just shot and he's in the dirt, laying there with a bullet wound.
Oh,
what is your advice? Out. What is your advice to Jason?
Jason, you absolute fucking stallion. Understand that this journey on this little floating rock, like it's going to come to an end so quick. So don't sit there and be upset about what's going on with your girl, because we get it. We've all had those dark days. Like shit sucks, but you're not going to get today ever again. So why do we want to be on a couch being sad? Get up, get moving, get the body active. If you're feeling sad, this is my best advice I've ever given. Feeling sad, put your music on loud. Even if you're crying, just dance for 20 seconds. I promise you'll feel better. Get up, understand that what is meant to be will be. Life is just way too short to be worrying about other people and worrying about like getting, you know, like worrying about like someone or like heartbreak or whatever. Cause it's a part of the roller coaster. Like it's up and down. That's the journey of life. Like you're going to have downs and you need to have those low moments to know when the highs are. So just fucking keep moving, have a boogie, get your dick out. Just fucking enjoy life.
Amen.
Ugh.
Harry Jowsey, where can we follow you?
At Harry Jowsey everywhere.
Shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah, that's where I'm pretty much everywhere, even your girls' DMs.
Make sure, seriously though, make sure y'all check the DMs. Check,
please.
Make sure you ain't in there. Anyways, guys, this has been an amazing podcast. If you guys want to listen to the full extended uncut version, listen on Spotify or iTunes. We love you guys. And it's been Tanner.
It's been Maverick.
It's been Harry. Thank you so much.
And we out. Peace.
Clean.